Some people talks about the doctrine of Christmas, the issues of Christmas. One of the greatest doctrines that we hold true, we hold dear, one of the greatest doctrines that's important to the world was given with Christmas and celebration of Christmas, the birth of Christ, and that is the virgin birth. Without the virgin birth, nothing else would have been possible. We want to look this morning at some things about the virgin birth. I want you to keep your Bibles and go with me a few moments. And we're going to go several places. So stay with me and I want to give you some thoughts. The world tries to celebrate, or the world does, celebrate Christmas without God. A lot of people has tried to incorporate other people to exalt besides Christ, people like Mary. We'll touch on that just a little bit this morning. Several years ago, Mel Gibson came out with this movie called The Passion of Christ. Several people kept wanting me to go see it. Somebody told me, oh, it's such a wonderful movie. I went and saw it, and I didn't like it. Reason why I didn't like it was it exalted Mary. There's a great movement in the world to exalt Mary. There's a movement to make much of Mary about Christmas. Can I say this? God could have chose any woman he wanted to. Christmas isn't about the woman. Amen. It's about Christ. Mary was just a vehicle or vessel that God chose to use. And yes, she's honored among women because she was a vessel used. But she is not supernatural. The Catholics has exalted her many movements within that group and other groups has tried to declare her to be Godhead. They want to exalt her as a fourth person of the Godhead, the mother of God. Listen to me, God has no mother. There's no such thing as a mother of God. God had no mother. Mary was just an instrument in which Jesus, which was already God, came into the world. She was not the mother of God. We'll touch on that in just a moment. But now notice, if you would, in Genesis chapter 3, we have the first prophecy of Christ and the prophecy of the virgin birth. Verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee," talking about the serpent and the woman, "and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Talking about Jesus, talking about the devil. Now, notice here, it says between the devil's seed and her seed, the woman's seed. Now, let me say this, and we'll go on. Only place in the Bible where anyone is ever referred to as being born of the seed of a woman. Everywhere else, it takes the seed of the man. Now, Adam and Eve was unique. God made them. Everyone else since then, other than Jesus, he was unique, has been born by the seed of man. Okay? Important to understand. Look, keep your finger there in Genesis chapter 3, and look, if you would, in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, begin reading with me, if you would, in verse 18. Now look back just a moment and notice that it starts with the generation of Jesus Christ. And he brings them from the son of David, because the reason why Matthew emphasized upon the kingship of Jesus, and therefore to be king of Israel, he had to come from David. So he starts with being the son of David. Then he jumps down to the son of Abraham, because the Jews would not recognize him as being the Messiah unless he come from the seed of Abraham. Then from Abraham on to Isaac, to Jacob, and on down through Judah, which was the tribe in which Jesus came out of. Then in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise." The reason why it says and uses those words, "it was on this wise," is because the birth of Jesus was different than all the other begats. So-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so. But the birth of Jesus was on this wise. Something different. Something unusual. None of the rest of them was on this wise, only Jesus. Look, if you would, in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, that means engaged to, before they came together. That means before there was ever any sexual activity at all among them two, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which she is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and that's prophet Isaiah, by the way, Brother Junior, where he was referring to this morning. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she was had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now let me say this. It's important that we understand something unusual about Jesus. Before there was ever any sexual contact, Joseph had no part in Jesus coming to the world. Mary was impregnated by the Holy Ghost. And so therefore, it was her seed, not the seed of man, that God used as a vehicle to bring Jesus into where he was incarnated from the Godhead into a man. And he took upon him a body like us. Now, look back, if you would, keep your finger there in Matthew. We're going to go back and forth in a couple places. But if you look back in Genesis where we read, notice the Bible says that her seed, the emphasis, the Bible refers to Eve as a woman. Now, the word woman means exactly what it means. It means that she was a female human being. In other words, she was a woman. Now, the emphasis is not upon the woman in Genesis chapter 3. The emphasis is upon her seed. It wasn't the woman that was going to bruise Satan's heel. It was her seed that was going to bruise the head of Satan. So therefore, and the Bible says that Satan was going to bruise his heel. Now, let me say something about Mary, because there's such a push about Mary. You say, well, most of us know it, and I hope you do. But there's a lot of teaching and pushing about this idea of Mary. And I want to cover some of the ideas, and I want the children to know. In case they hear it, I want them to know it's false doctrine. It's not true. Without understanding these and putting a stop to these, then you get sidelined by trying to understand the virgin birth. First of all, let me say, Mary was not divine. Whenever she wanted wine, they run out of wine at the wedding in John chapter 2, she didn't turn the water into wine. She went to Jesus, her son. And her son turned to her and said, woman. Again, referring to her and putting her in a place as any other normal human being. She was a female human, just like we are. And so therefore, when she come to him, he was the one. She was blessed to be the vessel that God chose, but nothing more than that. And by the way, I done said this, but I won't say it again. The Bible says, in the beginning, look at, if you would, in John chapter 1. And I'll let you read it with me, even though I could quote it. I want you to look at it. In John chapter 1, we're going to go to several places this morning quickly. I'm not going to spend a lot of time getting there. But in John chapter 1, it talks about Jesus coming to the world. Notice in the verse number 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. And let's skip on down to verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Mary was not the mother of God. As I said, God has no mother. Jesus made Mary. He created Mary. He created her as well as he created all of us. He is the author and creator of all things. Amen. In the beginning, he was there. Jesus did not just come to be through Mary. And so Mary is not the mother of God. And so I know the Catholics, they pray unto the mother of God. Don't get in the habit of praying to the mother of God. She has no access to God. She was a sinner like you, and she had to be saved. She was a woman, just as you are women and you are men. She was in the same position. Now, not only that, but also they teach that she is a perpetual virgin. And so therefore, they teach that she kept her virginity throughout her life. That's not true. If you look in Mark chapter 6, turn there with me real quickly if you would. In Mark chapter 6, and after she was a virgin when she had Jesus, and God chose a virgin to do that. But notice if you would in Mark chapter 6, in verse number 3, the Bible talks about that her and Joseph had normal relationships after that she bare Jesus. And those in verse 3, is not this a carpenter's son of Mary, the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Hoseas and Judah and Simon, are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. In other words, he had brothers and sisters because after Jesus came through Mary and her being a virgin, then her and Joseph had normal relationships and had other sons and other daughters, just like any other human being would have. And so Mary is not a perpetual virgin, as they teach and they project. She was not a virgin. She had many other children through the natural course of it, but Jesus was supernatural birth. Now, not only that, but some people say she was immaculately conceived. But Romans chapter 5, verse 12 denies that because it says that we all came through Adam. And she was a child of Adam. And so therefore, and she not only came, but sin was upon her because all came through that line. And so therefore, you would have to take Romans chapter 5 and throw it out because Jesus was the only sinless person. She was not immaculately conceived. And neither was she sinless. In Luke chapter 1, verse 46 and 47, she said, God, my Savior. The only people that need saviors are sins, or sinners. In other words, all of us needs a Savior because we're all sinners. Jesus came to save his people from their sins. That included his mother. She had to be saved like everybody else. There's none righteous, no, not one. We have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So therefore, do not believe this lie that Mary was immaculately conceived and that Mary was sinless and she was like Jesus without sin. She was a sinner that needed to be saved. That's why she needed a Savior. Amen? Now, not only that, but also they teach that Mary ascended up into heaven. When Jesus ascended up in heaven. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 19. Some people has a hard time understanding this scripture, and maybe this will clear it up for you. In John chapter 19, while Jesus was on the cross, he did something. And some people has made things out of it that wasn't exactly what was going on. Now you have to remember, now get this in your mind. In these days, When the husband was gone, the eldest son would take charge of the mother and look after her. That was his responsibility. If he left, then he ensured that she was taken care of. Women were taken care of by the men during that time. I know some of the women's lib and all that won't like that, but that was just a fact. Okay? So there in John chapter 19, in verse number 26, Jesus did something when he was upon the cross. The Bible says, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. And then he saith the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto what? Somebody said, Jesus did this when he said that to Mary. Jesus did that. You know what Jesus is doing? He said, I'm leaving. I'm the eldest here. I'm no longer going to be here. Mary, I want you to look at John. He's now your son that's going to take care of you in my absence. John, look at Mary. She's now your mother. You take care of her as if you were her son. And from that hour on, Mary went into the house of John, and John took care of her because Jesus was gone. Mary didn't ascend up into heaven with Jesus. Only Jesus ascended. Mary stayed down here with John, and John took care of Mary. Amen? And you know why Mary had to be taken care of? Because she wasn't God. She was a human being. She took the role as any other woman on the earth would take at that time. Not only that, but look, if you would, as well, let me say this. You don't have to turn there. You know, going back to Exodus chapter 20, the Bible says that thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven images and so forth. And let me tell you something. When you begin to bow to anybody else but God, you are putting them before God. When you begin to have images, whether images or whatever, you know, they go crazy. There'll be a picture of a woman, or a picture of a little diagram on a piece of toast sometimes, and they'll claim that's Mary. Oh, that's Mary, and they'll sell it for hundreds of thousands of dollars. I've thought about just toasting bread until a few of them come out and try to sell them a little bit. I don't know. But anyway, the point is, how foolish can you be? Listen, when you bow to Mary, you bow to a graven image. When you worship her in any way or any of the saints that they have, you bow to graven images. And so therefore, Mary is not to be worshipped. She has to worship like anybody else. Now let me say this too. They claim that Mary is co-redeemer. In other words, part of your redemption comes from Mary. That's a lie. The Bible, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by how? He didn't say me and Mary or me and my mom. You know why? Mary has nothing to do with it. She was a vessel that he came into the world in an unusual way. She was a virgin that God chose. There was many virgins there in that day, and she was honored among them to be selected. But if he had not selected her, he could have selected another one to bring forth Jesus. It wasn't Mary that was of importance. It's Jesus that was of importance. Not only that, they claim that she is a co-mediator. In other words, they claim that, you can approach Jesus because you can approach a son by the way of his mother. His mother has a lot of influence on the son. A lie. The Bible says there's one mediator between man and God, and that's the man Christ Jesus. In other words, it doesn't mention Mary. It doesn't say, why don't you go through Mary and get attention to Jesus? You know why it doesn't do that? Because Mary is not a mediator between you and God. Therefore, she needed a mediator just like you did. And Jesus was her mediator, same way he's our mediator. And last but not least, I didn't mean to preach on her. Somebody said, we pray to Mary because she has influence. The Bible says, Jesus said, this is how you pray. One of the Lord teaches how to pray. He says, our mother of God in heaven. Is that what he said? He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And therefore, he did not teach anywhere throughout the scriptures. He did not mention Mary as being any part of any prayer. Don't ever be guilty of trying to approach God through Mary. Amen. Mary needed the same approach to God as we did. As a sinner, she needed a Savior. And so therefore, Jesus was a Savior for her. Now, let's look at the virgin birth real quickly and stay with me just a moment. It's a doctrine that's been attacked. People said, I don't believe a virgin can bring forth a child. She can't. That's why it was supernatural. Supernatural means that God does something that nature does not allow. And what he did was he allowed a virgin to have a baby. And he used her seed, but the Holy Ghost impregnated her. Now, that's important. And so, therefore, it didn't follow the natural law of things. You say, I'm a virgin. I had someone one time, I read about this one, a girl come up pregnant. And she claimed that God supernaturally impregnated her. She just didn't want to be accused. And it found out who the father of the baby was later on. There is no other child ever been brought into the earth without the seed of a man but Jesus. Amen. Now listen to me very carefully. Sometimes people tries to put it upon Melchizedek, but Melchizedek did not have a supernatural birth. Melchizedek was just not under the lineage of his mother and father, had no bearing upon his high priest position. He was specially called by God. He wasn't born of Levi and of the sons of Levi. So therefore, that's what it means there. It doesn't mean that Melchizedek came with a supernatural birth. He didn't. Only one did. It was Jesus. Now, not only that, but let me say this. The immortal become mortal, that mortal might become immortal. Did you get that? Jesus was immortal. He was God. Never die. He become mortal that he could die so that you and I who was going to die could live forever and become immortal. That was the whole purpose of virgin birth. He become man like you and I. He lived a sinless life and he projected himself to God and presented himself that he could become a sacrifice. That's what Christmas is all about. The virgin birth, the coming of Jesus into this world to die for the sins of the whole world. He was untouchable as God. Man could not even come into his presence, Brother Junior, without falling dead. But the untouchable become touchable that we might be able to touch Jesus and call upon him and be saved. Now let me say this before we close. The virgin birth was prophesied as we read. It was performed on this wise as God had did it through a virgin, as he told Isaiah that he would bring forth a virgin and it would be a sign that it was him. Now, why is it important? Get this, and I'll close. One is, it proves the credibility of Scripture. Some people says, well, I don't believe that the virgin can do it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. God said it did, and he did. And the Scripture was verified by the fact that the Virgin Mary become pregnant, and she bore a child. Not only that, the deity of Jesus depended upon it. If he'd been born any other way by a seed of a man, the sin of the man would have been passed on to Jesus and he would have had a sinful flesh. So God chose that route to do it. Not only that, but his atonement of Christ. The fact that his blood would be attained. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 20, it's a perfect type of the Lamb of God, that it would be without blemish. Had he been born any other way than a virgin birth, his blood would have been tainted. Jesus, God would not accept his blood. We are born again by the precious blood of Jesus, the Lamb of God. His blood had to be pure, away from any Adam tainted. And so therefore he had to come only through a vehicle of a woman, but he had to be, the impregnation happened because of the Holy Ghost of God. Amen. Not only that, but remember what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 3 when he prophesied that the seed of the woman would do what? To the seed of the devil. What would he do? Crush his head. If it was not for the virgin birth, evil would not and could not be defeated. When Jesus come and come as through the virgin, he come and he died, and only the virgin birth made it possible that he would be acceptable to God. And when he died for the sins of the world, he went down to hell. He got keys of death and hell. He defeated evil and wickedness. And the devil, when you're saved, the devil cannot keep you from going to heaven. Did you know that? My last point. As a matter of fact, turn in Hebrews chapter 7. I'm closing right here. My last point is this. Without the virgin birth of Jesus, you will not have security of the believer. Look, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 7. In Hebrews chapter 7, the Bible says this in verse number 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make the intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. In other words, because he was separate from sinners, he had no sin. He, the only one, not Mary, He, the only one, become our high priest. Therefore, he's able to save us to the uttermost. Turn with me, if you would, in chapter 2 of Hebrews real quickly and look in verse 17. I'm closing right there. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 17. Notice what he says. Let me get over there. It says, wherefore, in all things it behooved him, Jesus, to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. That for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. In other words, he became the perfect high priest. And it's only because of the virgin birth. Now listen to me. I know I'll run through this real quick. I run through it quick for a reason, but listen to me very carefully. This time that we celebrate, the birth of Christ, it's all about Christ. Don't put anything else. If you take Christ out of Christmas, you might well exit. Because no one else can replace Christ in Christmas. It's not about Saint Nick. It's not about all that. It's about Christ. It's not to exalt Mary, his mother. It's not to exalt anybody else. It's all about Christ. We celebrate it as a coming of Christ, our Savior, into the world. And he came through a vehicle that no one else had come through. And he made it possible that he could take people like us, sinners, hell deserving, and save our souls. Even though we couldn't do nothing for ourselves, he made it where he could. And it all began at that precious birth where he came into the world. He was God before he come. He was God after he come. The only difference is he become God-man. And so therefore he was God-man, but he was every bit of God when he was here. And he was man because he took on a body like us. And he got that body from the vehicle of Mary. And he used Mary's vehicle of her body, even though it was a virgin, to allow him to be formed as a body and be God-man. And he come to present himself as man. When he went to be tempted of the devil, he was tempted as man. When he went to the cross of Calvary, he offered himself as man. That's why he looked at God when he's hanging there and he cried out, "Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He cried out as a man, offering himself a sacrifice, a sinless man, perfect man, without flaw, without blemish, without blur. He offered himself as a Lamb of God. And upon that cross of Calvary, his precious blood, untainted, like no one else, was able to provide a means of salvation for the whole world. Oh, friend, such a wonderful holiday that we have. Do not leave Christ and forget Christ. And do not ever exalt anybody else in the worship of Christmas except Jesus. Amen. Let's stand. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Do you understand that Christ, the whole purpose of Christmas, was him to make that vehicle that you might be saved? You want to go to heaven? You know, Brother Porter sung that song about just being a stranger and pilgrim here and going over Jordan. If you ever want to make it to heaven, it's only one way through Christ. Would you come? Have you accepted him? Is he your personal Savior? Oh, Mary had to have that Savior. You have to have that Savior too. Everyone must take the Savior of themselves. Have you ever, can you point to a time and a place where you put your faith and trust in Christ? Where you believe upon Jesus and he saved your soul? How about maybe today might be the day you need to come? Would you come? How about it?